Opportunity for joy. I'm surprised there aren't more people here looking for an opportunity for joy, but maybe they didn't look ahead. Have you ever met the person who's never really struggled in life? He's never had to overcome obstacles, but has had everything just kind of handed to them. No. What did you learn from that person? You didn't learn anything because the person doesn't exist, right? There are things that you can't learn in the sense of really knowing them without experiencing them. A quick look at some New Testament texts tell us that there are valuable things to learn through suffering. Think of Paul writing in Philippians 4. Just think, what would prompt a guy to write these words? I have learned to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Seems like there's some hard times mixed in with that, right? When you have little, nothing to eat. Yeah. How do you think Paul learned how to be content with almost nothing or to get along happily on an empty stomach? He learned it by experiencing it. He learned things about himself and his approach to living under the covenant of God's grace by living through all kinds of situations and circumstances. But here's the kicker from Hebrews chapter 5. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could deliver him out of death. And God heard his prayers because of his reverence for God. So even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Wow. There's a learning that comes through experience, a special kind of learning that comes through the experience of suffering. And we're made better by going through it the right way. What do you think would be the right way to endure suffering, and what would be some of the wrong ways? Well, one of the wrong ways is the path of pride. Why me? Why should I have to suffer? I don't deserve this. And do you know where that leads? Leads to bitterness. Because the person's not getting what they think they deserve, despite their best efforts, and so they think God maybe isn't being fair. Another way of dealing with suffering is to find someone to blame. It's all their fault. It doesn't help us to get any better, but it might help us feel better if we can point to another person as the source of our suffering. But what does that lead to? It leads to justifying self and blaming others. And that can only ever lead to a judgmental spirit. We will judge those who we feel have failed us, and we will resent their failures instead of recognizing our own. And then there's the plan of escaping suffering. This is another way to deal with it, right? By getting high, or by getting drunk, or by plunging into the world's values and lifestyles, or even through suicide. Escape seems the only pleasant way out for some people in the midst of unbearable pain. But they don't, and they can't know what they're escaping into, only what they're trying to get out of. So that's my introduction to James 1, verses 2, 3, 4, and 12, which reads like this: Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, whenever, in other words, not if, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. Ooh, the ready for anything people. It's great, eh? God blesses the people who patiently endure testing. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So the place to start is with that phrase, whenever trouble comes your way. James doesn't say if you happen to have troubles or anything that's conditional. It just says whenever. It's going to happen. If you happen, have you ever had trouble? Personally, you know? No, nobody here, eh? Oh, man. Of course you have. It comes with living in a fallen world, and we have all encountered trouble. We struggle with illness. We struggle with people's anger and resentment. We struggle with aging and losing strength in the process. We struggle with misunderstanding friends or with accidents and injuries and with financial pressures that we don't have the means to respond to, and on and on and on it goes. There is suffering in this world, and this will continue to be the case until the Lord returns at the end of history to bring in the new heaven and the new earth, where suffering isn't the norm. In fact, it doesn't happen. The issue that we all face is how we respond to suffering. Now, that issue is made more complex by the fact that some people suffer more than others. Some people have to deal with terminal illnesses and bankruptcies and PTSD and hostile family members. It's not fair, and the claim that everything should be fair is just whistling in the dark, hoping for something that isn't given. It isn't promised at all. We're not even told to pray for fairness, but to pray for mercy. So we start with the phrase, whenever trouble comes your way, and tag onto that the phrase, let it be an opportunity for joy. At which point our brain sends us a simple message, this does not compute. No, it doesn't make any sense at all. How are we to find an opportunity for joy when we're enduring suffering? How do we translate our pain or our anger, our fear, our heartache into something that brings us deep satisfaction, a sense of fulfillment, an occasion of blessing, the gift of joy? A few minutes ago, I asked you what would be the right way to respond to suffering and what would be some of the wrong ways. And we looked at the response of pride, why should I have to suffer? The response of blaming someone else, they should be suffering as much or more than me. And escaping suffering through drugs or alcohol or pleasure or suicide. And now we see the right way to respond to suffering, and that is by seeing it differently than you would just with your natural mind. Several translations say, consider it all joy. And that tells us that we're to consider, to be thoughtful, which will lead us to thinking differently about this trial, this suffering. And how different? Consider it pure joy when you encounter trials of many kinds. That's not the normal way people respond to trials. That's a different way, and it stops us in our tracks, and it makes us think, oh, God's thinking differently about this than I am. God's ways are different than my ways. But it's not just a different way, it's an opportunity for us to learn something about life. An opportunity for us to grow in becoming more like Jesus. James is telling us just what we can learn. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. The really obvious thing from this text is that James is telling us that we hold the key. It's up to us to respond in a way that makes us stronger. It's up to us to show that we trust God enough to endure, to bear up, to stay on our feet when we encounter these trials, when we suffer. And in the act of stretching our faith, of continuing to trust God through trials, we do get stronger. We do change. We do learn. Eventually, we learn the incredible blessing of experiencing joy in the midst of it all. Let me put something out there for you to think about. This is a quote from Dallas Willard, a great Christian leader and author who passed away just over a decade ago. He wrote, "One does not develop courage without facing danger. Patience without trials. Wisdom without heart and brain-racking puzzles. Endurance without suffering. Or temperance and honesty without temptations." These are the very things we treasure most about people. Ask yourself if you would be willing to be devoid of all these virtues. If your answer is no, then don't scorn the means of obtaining them. That's wisdom. You know, if you want to be courageous and patient and wise and enduring and honest and all those things, don't scorn the means of growing into all of those things. None of those things help us if we don't face them in the right way and respond to them in the right way. In other words, if we choose bitterness or blaming or avoiding or another unhealthy way of getting through our trials, we don't get stronger. I admire people who go to the gym and work out on a regular basis. I do. I see the change in them, the strength that they are gaining, how it helps their attitude by teaching them discipline, how it gives them energy and better focus. But I don't gain any of those things if I don't adopt some regular routine of physical exercise. Admiring them is not enough. Their endurance, as muscles are gradually built up, as they endure the discomfort of stretching and lifting and moving in ways that require more effort than our normal activities, their endurance doesn't do me any good at all unless I participate. That's true of this issue that James is raising in this letter. It's how we, as individuals, respond to our trials that determines our growing or our lack of growing. Here's another quote, this time from Malcolm Muggeridge, famous English journalist from the 20th century. And he writes, "Contrary to what might be expected, I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced or enlightened my existence, has been through affliction and not through happiness, whether pursued or attained." What makes his life good is not good times. It's interesting, eh? What makes him a character that he has self-respect is through handling trials, through handling suffering. The big lessons of life, the things that make us better people, are the things we learn through the trials, the tests, the hard, often painful circumstances that take us to deeper places than we would willingly go on our own. Jim Carrey, you know that name? Oh, yeah. Starred in movies like The Mask, Ace Ventura, Bruce Almighty, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and dozens more. He's been called the rubber-faced comedian because of his elastic facial expressions and zany comedy. But in 2015, he was devastated when his girlfriend at the time, Catriona White, decided to take her own life. Her family heaped onto his pain by blaming him for her death. He was vindicated later in court, but was left shattered by the whole experience. He found the answer to his pain by turning to Jesus, and now he says, "Ultimately, I believe that suffering leads to salvation. The quotes from Willard and Muggeridge and the testimony of Jim Carrey tell us in their own way what James was saying when he wrote, "When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." It's not a sure thing, because we can respond in various ways, and some of them are very unhealthy. But it's an opportunity, and that helps us to see the meaning of verse 2. Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Everybody suffers in some way at some points in our lives, but not everyone responds the way James encourages us to. And that's because many people can't look beyond the trial to the reward. We've already looked at briefly at two rewards for bearing up well: the growth of our endurance and gaining strength of character so that we can be ready for anything. If a trial is meant to teach us something, we're going to be better off if we ask, "What am I supposed to be learning through this?" than if we ask, "Why me, Lord?" And if we can learn something, if we can grow through the trials, and if we can become stronger by the way we respond, we will have taken advantage of the opportunity for joy. We will have seen it as an opportunity to respond in a healthy way. But the real bonus and the real blessing comes down in verse 12. God blesses the people who patiently endure testing. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, that's an interesting choice of words. Is it maybe suggesting that we show that we love God by trusting him as we endure trials? I think that conclusion is written right into that text. God blesses those who patiently endure testing, and God will give them the crown of life that he's promised to those who love him. I think we can conclude that the people who truly know and love God are people who are then able to trust him with their lives. In the midst of pain and suffering, in the midst of anxiety and fear, in the midst of opposition and hostility from others. A couple of weeks ago, Patty and I attended a funeral service for a woman who loved God enough to trust him fully. She had been diagnosed 3 years earlier with ALS, which I'm going to try and pronounce, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease, as it's more commonly known. This disease produces a loss of muscle control that gets progressively worse over time. The word amyotrophy can be broken down into a, meaning no, myo, meaning muscle, and trophy, meaning nourishment. No muscle nourishment. This woman had lost muscle control in the areas that affect speech, and so she was unable to communicate with her voice, and she did texting instead. Texted her family a lot. It's a devastating disease, one that seems to fill its victims with such a sense of hopelessness and despair and the loss of meaning or purpose for their life. It's really debilitating. But I heard something different in the eulogy delivered by her brother. I heard of someone who avoided texting about her condition, her discomfort, her fear, or her pain. She would deflect conversations to other people's concerns or circumstances or needs. She loved God and knew his promise that she would receive the crown of life. And she was looking forward to that. And it gave her strength to endure up until the day of her death. That's the main reason for joy when we encounter various kinds of trials. We are among the most blessed people in the world because we are loved by God. We've learned that he's worthy of our love in return. And from that simple lesson, we are promised the crown of life, an eternal reward, a life that never comes to an end, but endures forever in his presence. So, facing suffering, facing trials of various kinds, offers us a choice in how we respond. We can choose the response that's angry, resentful, bitter, blaming, or is a form of running away, or we can choose to trust, to embrace the love of God, and to rest in Him. One time when Jesus was teaching some hard things, a lot of His followers stopped following and went back to their old lives. And Jesus asked His disciples, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter spoke this memorable response, "Lord, to whom would we go? You alone have the words that give eternal life. Where else would you go when your life was in a mess?" We have seen people like Jim Carrey and Bono and Joe Rogan even coming from places far away from faith, far from leaning into God, and now declaring that we need, and this is Joe Rogan's words, a belief in some sort of divine structure of things. And one of the guys who pushed him towards that was Jordan Peterson. Interesting, eh? And part of that divine structure of things is learning to trust God in every circumstance, in every situation, whether it makes sense to us or not, whether we're having a great time or enduring a harsh and difficult trial. So let's look at some applications from this passage. What would James want us to think and do differently because we've understood these four verses? Number one, he wants us to know that trials will come and that we have a choice as to how to respond to them. That's probably not a surprise to anyone, but it's the starting place for a healthy approach to the trials that come our way. We're not unique, even when our struggles might seem to be. Every person will encounter intensely difficult events at some points during their lives, and every person will have a choice about how they respond. Second, James is telling us that the preferred response, the best possible response, is to think of the positive benefits of our trials. Think about what we're learning. Think about how we're growing in faith and in courage and in hope. Think about the eternal rewards of enduring well and be grateful. This is how we can begin to see suffering and trial, opposition, struggle as an opportunity for joy. It's not easy, but it's an opportunity. The third thing I want to draw our attention to is the need to resist the temptation to blame God for our trials. We'll see this coming up later in James, but we need to resist the idea that the troubles we face are God's doing, that they're His fault. The reality is that there is sin in the world, not because of Him, but because of humans. And that sin infects all of life, our culture, our politics, our business, our education, our media, and even our healthcare. The power of evil pervades our culture, not because God wants it that way, but because humans do. Number four is the flip side of number three. Instead of blaming God, we need to lean into Him, to trust Him, to allow Him to grow our faith through our trials and testings, and to come out stronger and stronger as we do, as we persevere in that. You've known people like that, I'm sure. People who approach old age and ultimately death with just a quiet confidence that God is good, and He holds their future within His loving care, and that's enough. So, trials will come. The preferred response is to think about them as an opportunity for joy at the good they will produce in our lives. God isn't the bad guy in this. In fact, He's the only source of goodness and mercy, and He walks us through the sufferings if we let Him. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word. Thank You for James. Thank You for this truth that so challenges us and so confronts our our pride and our selfish desire for us to always have the easy life, or at least the strength to endure, which is fair enough. Lord, help us to grab hold of this opportunity, the opportunity for joy that we can experience by just simply trusting you, by trusting that your promise is good, by trusting that you will work all things together for good to those who love you, by trusting the promise that you have for eternal life for those who just keep pressing in, keep waiting on you. Yeah, help us to make this real, or to experience this as very real in our lives, Lord. And go easy on us, we pray. Be gentle, Lord. Yeah, we're not strong, but we need you, and we trust you. Amen.